Then you speak of the body. The distinction between the eternal and the body is the substance of between this verse number 16 and verse number 61.
61, yes.
What is the relationship between that which is and the body? Therefore, in 61 he speaks of the body. In what condition? Indriyani Sayamya. All the senses are to be controlled. And Matvaraha Asita Matvaraha.
Yukta Asita Matvaraha.
So you become united with me and become my-minded completely. Matvaraha. So there is still a lot to be learned. But first proposition is this. You might say this is the, when Sri Krishna starts his argument, this is the first dawn, you might say. You know, if you compare Bhagavad Gita with an orchestra of music, imagine that Beethoven is playing his musical piece. And there will be first a tremendous one stroke where 100 instruments will immediately burst into a sound and go into quietude. This is that sentence. This is the first dawn in which 100 vibrations are vibrating powerfully. And all that Sri Krishna wants to say is basically contained in this sentence. That's why the importance of this sentence. The first dawn of the argument of the Bhagavad Gita. If this sentence is taken out of the Gita, the whole structure will be finished. That's why I refer to this. Now come, as a result of this statement, certain minor statements which are expository of this. And these minor statements, if you come to 20th verse, I am only taking those sentences which are of great importance. And as a student of the Bhagavad Gita, you should have a good mastery so that you are really entrenched in the Bhagavad Gita. So I am taking those key sentences of the Bhagavad Gita. So now, 20th verse in this chapter is also extremely important. It is expository of that sentence. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyah ajo nityah shashvato ayam puranam na hanyate hanyamane sharire. What does it mean? The self, that which is eternal, that which really exists, is never born, nor does it ever die. Having once born before, will it not be born in the future? The self is unborn, eternal, imperishable, and ageless. So the body is slain, the self is not killed. So now you can see the distinction now he begins to make between the that which is and the body. The body can be born. The body can be thrown out. The body can die. So there is a distinction between that which is and the body. Next one. Veda avinashinam nityam yaha enam ajam avyayam katham sa purusha partha kam ghatayati hantikam. O son of Krishna, if one knows that the self is indestructible, immutable, unborn, eternal, how can a person kill anyone or cause anyone to be killed? Your entire argument was, I'm going to kill Drona and Bhishma and Kripacharya and others. But if you are really establishing the self, which always remains eternal, your whole argument vanishes. Basic argument. you will see the death and the killing in a different light altogether. You will not argue, I am killing or he is killed. This argument will not arise once you know this. There will be killing, there will be destruction, but you will have a different vision of it. You will find what is the position of killing or not killing in this world. Then you will come to the right conclusion.
Uncle, in verse 16, what does Krishna mean by the non-existent? Because everything is self, there is nothing.
That's right. That is why non-existent is non-existent, unthinkable. You can't even think of it.
Because you just clarified between the phenomena and the existence.
Yes.
So non-existent is just non-existent altogether.
It is not phenomenon. Phenomenon is a great proposition. What is phenomenon? Does it exist? Does it not exist? What is phenomenon? That we shall come to later on. Which is a very important question. In fact, all karma yoga is nothing but mastery over phenomena. You cannot be a karma yogi unless you have mastery over phenomena. Mere mastery over the eternal is only jnana yogi. Therefore, many jnanis are not powerful actors in the world. They have a hold on the eternal. They don't have the hold on the transient, on that which is phenomenal. Therefore, karma yoga is necessary. Merely being a jnani, you cannot control the world. Although it is foundation, you should start with it, but it is not enough. A purna jnani is not one who only knows the eternal. Purna jnani is one who knows both the eternal and the phenomenal. That is why when you come to the seventh chapter, in fact, jnana is fully expounded in chapter number 7, 8, 9, 10. What is jnana? And there, Sri Krishna will explain the relationship between the eternal and the phenomenal. It is there that we come to know, Sri Krishna will say in the 7th chapter, I will now give you without remainder, asheshena. When I have told you this, nothing remains further to be known. Here he doesn't say this. Here he is only making a foundational statement. In the 7th chapter, when he will say to Arjuna, what is full jnana? Jnana vijnanena saha. Not only jnana, jnana vijnanena saha, I shall tell you knowledge with all the phenomenal knowledge. The knowledge of the eternal and the knowledge of the phenomenal. Having known which, nothing will remain more to be known. Such a tremendous statement in 7th chapter.